This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, you can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. We'll get back into the Nationals coming up at 7:20. David Sampson used to be the president of the Marlins. Now he's a Major League Baseball analyst for CBS Sports HQ. He will join us at 7:20. Later in the program, John Shambi, voice, play-by-play voice on ESPN for Major League Baseball. He'll join us at 9:20. So we will get into the Nats struggles. If you want to chime in on that, 800-636-1067.
I was able to totally stay awake. You know, I'm taking this, you know, stupid cough, you know, whatever crap is still bothering me, these allergies, whatever it is. And so I'm taking this Mucinex and this Zyrtec every day, and it knocks the crap out of me. So during the day when I get home, like from noon to three, I'm just basically out.
Took a massive nap.
Yeah, like the last 3 days, it's just making me drowsy. And then I'm up, and so I'm kind of awake.
So that's why you watch the entire Nats game.
Well, it's one reason, yeah. I mean, I'm normally, frankly, I don't go to bed till 10:30. So I'm normally up-ish. But this one, also because Max is so compelling, man, I find him fun to watch. And he works, even when he's at the plate, he works counts.
Yeah.
You know, he works counts to 3-2. He might strike out.
He gives it 100% every single game.
He is just amazing.
And if you look at his numbers, look, he is 2-5 this year. It's bad luck. Bullpen's whoring him. Bullpen whored him again yesterday. Struck out 9 batters, 109 pitches, which was one pitch shy of tying Trevor Bauer as being the only pitchers in Major League Baseball to go 5 straight games with 110 pitches or more. And when you're going 110 pitches or more, it's because you're pitching well and they don't have to take you out.
Well, he's a horse. Yeah.
So yeah, he goes 109 pitches, they take him out, and bullpen blows it again.
And yesterday was particularly crushing because Eaton hits a homer in the first inning, and it's just they had the lead the whole game, right? And you're going against an ace in DeGrom, and they only held, I think DeGrom only held him to 2 hits. And so you know it's close. I mean, anybody that's watching that game knows at any moment the Nats can lose it, but you're just hoping that they're going to be able to steal this one and close it out, and they just couldn't get it done.
Well, especially when you know you got to get 9 more outs, and Scherzer's pulled after 6 just because of the pitch count, and you know that there's going to be someone that comes out of that pen that's going to just be make it dicey.
Right.
And, you know, Ross and Grace held down the 7th. They were fine. Ross only threw 3 pitches because they pinch hit for the pitcher, but they brought Grace in. He was fine. Then Barraclough, I mean, he allowed the double that probably should have been caught by Soto.
Yeah, I mean,
Robles.
I have a hard time blaming Barraclough.
It's not even the double, though, but then there's a mound visit. The new silly pitching coach gives a mound visit, and he walks somebody in 4 pitches.
Yeah.
Right after the mound visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, they were pitching carefully. You know, they made a point. They were thinking about maybe even walking him. That's at least what FP and those guys were saying.
Him.
Yeah, but they, like, intentionally.
You're talking about when Frazier walked.
Yeah.
To load the bases.
Because, I don't know. It was one of those games. It was a real soul crusher. You were hoping they could hold on. And as the guy said, really, okay, they had 9 outs, but you're really hoping 6, and then you get to Doolittle, and then you can, you know, then you feel like it's in capable hands again.
Yeah, or 5.
Yeah, and in this instance, it was 5.
If you want to chime in on the Nats on Open Line Thursday, you can. They're now 19-30. They are so far back of the division lead. It's not even worth, like, talking about at this point. Like, I know Rizzo said it's a winnable division, and a lot of people shot back, and it's true. Yeah, winnable division for the Phillies and Braves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just not really realistic to say the Nationals.
Well, teams have
are
come
in a
back,
winnable division,
but they're just
it's
not.
It's happened.
Doesn't look like they're.
It just
set up
doesn't
for it.
Seem like it's going to happen this year. I wanted to bring up something that I saw yesterday. You know how movie theaters have changed over the years? Like, when we grew up, you just had, like, those flat movie theaters, and if somebody sat in front of you, you couldn't see. And eventually they came up with stadium seating. And then you had the iPix of the world come in, which took it to the next level, where you have recliners and food service and beer and wine. I saw this yesterday, and I'll admit, I'm not a pet owner. Maybe this attracts some pet owners. Alamo Drafthouse is taking it to another level where they're going to start allowing, at least in certain theaters, you to bring your dog in, and they have bottomless wine. Okay, that's fine. Bottomless wine, that probably works. People want to get hammered at the movies, and you want to get your $15 bottomless wine or whatever it's going to cost. I understand that, but to now allow dogs into the movie theater, like for somebody like you, you might be like, oh, cool, I can bring Luke in there. But are people really going to want to go to the theaters if there are like dogs in there who might be barking, pooping,
well,
panting,
I mean, if they're
slobbering all
if
over
they're
the
barking,
place?
You're taking them out of the theater. It's just like if you have a baby.
I would think that if you're going to bring a dog, first of all, you're an idiot. But secondly, it's got to be a very small dog that'll sit in your lap. I couldn't bring my dog to the movies. Where am I going to put her?
Maybe in the aisle or something. You have to sit on the aisle seat.
In front of you?
Or right on the side. Yeah, I mean, you can't do that.
Well, it gets a seat.
The dog gets a seat?
Yeah, because like a dog costs $5, so you'd have to pay.
Yeah, it's an extra $5. It actually says here, for an extra $5, you can bring a second dog. You imagine if you bring two dogs?
I don't think that's going to entice more people to go to the movies, but I could be wrong.
I mean, do people love their dogs so much they have to bring them to the movies?
Right.
Please, give me a break.
I'll let the dog chill down.
Would you want to bring your dog to the movie?
No, it would be a nightmare.
Would you want to?
Well, no. I'll say this. If my dog was the only dog in the theater, it might not be such a bad thing. But as soon as there's another dog in there, then it's a playtime.
Chaos.
It's chaos. Yeah.
Of course. But I mean,
my dog would instantly be focused on another dog if she was in a movie theater, even in a dark theater.
I do enjoy, though, the way that movie theaters have improved. So iPick was the only one in this area, but now all the other movie theaters have responded, at least the ones that I go to, and they've added kind of the recliners and just everything is set up better to sit down, watch a movie, be able to have your food. It's just a much nicer setup. I know you always give iPick a hard time because they have the blankets.
Okay, I think the blankets are so gross.
Not all of them have blankets,
yeah.
But it's nice when you can just hit a button and then they'll come to you and
deliver
your popcorn.
I just heard a guy on Stern's show talking about what he was doing to his boyfriend under the blanket, right?
Ugh.
What do you think? The blankets are a bad idea.
Okay, but you use blankets at a hotel. They clean them.
It's gross, too. It's just, I bet you, hopefully they clean
your own blankets when you go to the hotel.
Who knows how well they clean them?
I actually know people, I've heard of people that bring their own sheets to hotels.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you?
No, I don't. But I do make a point of taking the comforter and I peel it back and I don't sit on the comforter because I feel like they don't wash the comforter as much as they wash the sheets. So I sit on the sheets.
I just have faith.
They probably never wash the
comforter. I have faith that the theaters that are providing the blankets are treating the blankets much like hotels treat blankets with a washing machine.
I doubt as frequently.
I don't know that there's any way to determine
all
that.
I know
because there's also no way to determine when you go to the hotel that they just did it.
Every time I smell a sheet in a hotel room, I don't get that fresh, detergent type smell.
Right.
So I don't know. They might just be throwing it in there with hot water. They might not be using detergent. It never smells like it. Mm. Like if you wash your sheets at home, you use detergent. It smells.
But they
like
might
you
do that
them.
Because people have allergies. They might use.
What do they use?
There's some that
odorless.
Have, yes.
Well, mine have some.
That would
I
be my
dryer
guess.
Sheet.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I think they might do that because of allergies. We use non-whatever.
Right. Hypoallergenic.
Whatever it is.
I hear you.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't talk about this on the air last week. This is what my dog does to dogs she doesn't like.
Took a chomp. Took
that.
A bite.
Yeah. Whose dog is that?
It's just a neighbor's dog who my dog hates.
Oh,
right.
Boy.
Look at that.
So that causes bitterness?
What does the neighbor do? Neighbor just says, hey, just want you to know. Luca,
well, it was the neighbor's fault. My dog was on a leash in my yard, and she let this dog, knowing that my dog doesn't like her dog, she let the dog run wild and into my yard.
Why would the dog run to your dog if she knows you're...
Because this is a dumb dog. He's a stupid dog.
Does anybody Does anybody have a fence in your neighborhood?
In the backyards, yeah, but this dog was running around the front yards.
Yeah.
My dog was in the front yard. And that's what happens when you let dogs into my yard who she doesn't like.
All right, let's go. You can put that on social media if you want.
No, I'm not doing that.
Let's go to Matt in Burke. Matt, what's up, buddy?
Probably shouldn't be talking about it.
It's not your fault.
Well, I know what the Nats should do. They should give us bottomless wine too to have to go and watch this disaster. So I listen to you guys every morning. I didn't get to hear because I had to go into the office when you talked to the GM yesterday or whatever. Yeah. What are they doing? What are they doing to try and fix this? I said yesterday to a buddy of mine on the phone in the fifth inning, we're going to lose this game like we always do. And now our announcers, God bless them, they're talking about how many outs we have left to get to our closer. I'm like, no. How many outs we have left in the freaking game? Because even he, as good as he's been, even he got shelled yesterday. I mean, he can't be perfect every game, just like Scherzer. Scherzer gives up, like, a single run or no runs, and you know you're going to lose because we're getting no run support. Then the bullpen comes in. The middle relief on this team is obviously a disaster, and we've been talking about it for like 2 months.
Well, what do you suggest they do?
Well, the only thing I thought the other day was, who's the guy that the reliever that's sitting on the sideline right now that played for Atlanta and Boston?
Kimbrel, right.
Maybe get Kimbrel and try and bring him in and then use our closer as a setup guy. I mean, they've got to try something because this season, in another 8 games, if we lose another 6 of the next 8, this season is over. It basically already is, but the next 8 games, for sure, I said in this 10-game stretch, if we don't – I mean, what do they want me to do as a fan? I want to support the team, and frankly – I mean, I've talked to you guys about my Buckeyes and all these other teams. The only team in this town I can root for is the Nats, and mm-hmm. I do, heartily. But the season's over, and we're not even to Memorial Day. It's crazy.
That's true.
So, it is crazy.
That's why they're not going to bring Kimbrel in. Yeah. This is what you have to realize. The season's over. They're not going to the playoffs. The answer is they have to address it in the offseason. All right, Davey will probably be gone. Okay. They're going to have to address all these problems in the offseason. It's not going to happen midseason. It's not.
Thanks, all right. Matt. Well, thanks, fellas. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
And by the way, they play the Mets again today. Strasburg pitches. It's 12-10 start. All right. Based on how the Nats have been playing, they'll probably lose. Then they play the Marlins this weekend here. Marlins have won 5 straight. Can you imagine if the Marlins came in here and won the series? And by the way, the Marlins have already beat the Nats in the series this year.
Mm-hmm. I could easily imagine
But to answer his question.
Well, that's when they would probably be gone by next week.
To answer his question, what Rizzo said is, in a nutshell, that they need to perform better. He's made a bunch of moves with the bullpen. He said they need to perform better.
Right.
Well, perform better at end of games.
They do have guys, and we talked about it yesterday, and we talked about it all year, that are having catastrophic years. I mean, it's crazy. And then every once in a while, though, they will perform. Like yesterday, you can say what you want. Matt Grace did his job yesterday.
For once.
Okay, but he did his job. Ross came in. Now it was only 3 pitches or whatever, but he did his job.
Yeah.
But it just takes one guy to screw it up, 2 guys, and then it's every game, and it just spreads like a disease.
Well, I mean, any team can say perform better. The Angels can say that. The Reds can say that. The Orioles can say that. The Royals can say that. These teams just aren't good enough, talent-wise. The Nats right now, take the whole, they're good on paper out of the question. I mean, it's done. I don't believe in that. They're not good enough.
Maybe, but they were good enough. They've been good enough historically, the guys.
Yeah, but it's a different team. Different team with Soto in the lineup being, you need to count on Soto and Robles and Dozier. It's a different team.
It is a different. No, but I'm talking specifically about, the bullpen. Like, these guys have done their jobs before. This year, they're just not. That's why it's tough. It's not like they're not all unproven guys. Some of them, like Wander Suero, are kind of unproven, right? They're young guys, they haven't really proven anything. But a lot of the other guys are veterans, been around for a long time.
Yeah, true, but they're not all stars.
They're not all stars. They're role players.
They've had good and bad years.
Yeah, but not like this. They haven't had ERAs of 6, 7, 8, 9.
This is a bad one.
I mean, some of these guys have ERAs of 18. But
I just look at the games and I look at the roster and go, this roster isn't good enough. The offense isn't that great either.
We'll talk to David Sampson about that next. He's the former president of the Marlins. Now he's a Major League Baseball analyst with CBS Sports HQ. Keep it here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 7:45, your chance to win Nats tickets. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, David Sampson, used to be the president of the Marlins. Now he's with CBS Sports HQ as a Major League Baseball analyst. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
David.
A lot of frustrated fans here in D.C. wondering why the Nationals have slipped all the way to 19-30. They've had their injury issues, but the bullpen has been catastrophic this year, David, and we're kind of kicking around. What can they do?
It's a hell of a team, David. Hell of a team.
I would start by releasing players. I would think an in-season managerial move may be in the offing, which always just reeks of frustration and desperation, and I would know because I reeked of those things for so many years. It's just bad from start to finish. When you're not winning games at Scherzer starts, even against DeGrom, when you're blowing leads the way the bullpen is, it is so deflating for the team that it's hard to recover from. In 19-30, I'm sorry, guys, that's really hard to recover from, probably impossible.
Yeah. Right. Did you think that they were fatally flawed before the season even began?
I picked them to go to the damn World Series and lose to the Astros.
Right.
I thought that without Bryce Harper, they would be better. I thought the clubhouse would be better, which, right, by the way, it is. Yeah. I thought that with that rotation, with the addition of Corbin, the top three rotation, they would never lose three games in a row. I thought Anibal Sanchez was a solid number 5, 6, 7, or 8 starter. I was wrong in every possible way.
But why were you so sold on Davey? Now, I don't necessarily think Davey's the big problem. I mean, he's probably part of the problem. They all are part of the problem. But what did you see in Davey last year? Why did you were you so confident that they could go to World Series with the second year?
Oh,
manager?
I'm sorry. Let me be very clear. I'm not sold that managers make a difference in any possible way at all. Mm. When Jack McKeon came in 2003 and took over, we did an in-season managerial switch. Jack McKeon for Jeff Torborg. We won the World Series. Jack made every right move, but guess what? His moves were crazy, and it was just the players were really good and started to play better. I believe that I could have gone in there, and I love Jack, and I'm so close to him. But I think that managers can make good teams great, but they can't make bad teams good. And so, Davey, I don't blame Davey for this. The reason I say in-season managerial is Rizzo's can't fire himself. The Learners made a commitment to Rizzo, and they're not going to fire him mid-season. And I can only imagine how frustrated Mark is, and certainly Ted, even though he's not the control person. Ted Owner, he's in his mid-90s, and he's still suffering from the 2012 Boris debacle with Strasburg. So it's just bad there. And I'm so sorry to say it to you guys.
So you think that there should be a move at GM? You think they should fire Rizzo?
I think that the Nationals need to start over. I think the first thing they need to do is stop paying attention to Scott Boris. I think that letting Harper go is the right move, and keeping Rendon would be the right move. Also, getting him signed. However, I would still trade him if I could get a bunch of players back, and then I would try to re-sign him. I think that they have to be smart and be one of the first to market because they've got some players. Doolittle, no matter what happened last night, he would be wanted by competing teams. And I think that is what I would be doing if I were running
the
Nationals.
So you're advocating unloading Rendon and then potentially re-signing him at letting go of Doolittle. I mean, the only guy we'd left would be like basically Max.
Yeah, that would be a tank mode right there.
That would be.
Well, no, you remember, you've got Max Corbin and you've got Strasburg.
Yeah.
So you've got an unbelievable top three rotation, but it's being wasted right now with no rings, no World Series appearances. So put it this way, whatever you guys are doing right now and the way it's been done, you've got to start doing it differently.
Right. Do you think the way that Mike constructs the roster, there's a flaw there?
No, I absolutely love the roster, but this happened to me with the Marlins, and it's so very hard to admit that it's not working. We had it before Jose died in 2016. We had a great pitching staff. We tried to piece together a bullpen as best as we could. We had position players that were out of this world with Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna, and we couldn't win 81 games. at some point, well, obviously the team got sold and I got fired, but forgetting all that, at some point you have to admit that the sum is not as great as the parts. And the way to win a World Series is when your sum is greater than the parts. And we had it wrong in Miami, and I'm afraid that you guys have it wrong in Washington. Your parts are greater than your sum.
One criticism of Mike has been, fair or unfair, is that the bullpen seems to be something that is, when you say an afterthought, he'd be pissed because I know it's not an afterthought to him. But there's not as many financial resources allocated to your bullpen. And then if there's an issue, he could fix it in June or July, making pickups. That's kind of been the criticism. Is that fair?
No, that's actually, he builds bullpens the right way. You make a few moves during the offseason, and then you try to, if you're in the race, you then acquire the hot bullpen arm. So I would give up an arm and a leg, no pun intended, to get Kirby Yates, let's say, from the Padres, who think they're competing, but in another month they won't be. And you just, what you do is look for bullpen arms that are hot that year, because then they stay hot generally, and you ride them and then let them go. Signing bullpen arms to long-term deals has not worked very well for most teams. You have the exceptions like the Riveras and in some ways the Chapmans and the Jansons, but even allocating that much money at the back end of your bullpen doesn't work. For the Marlins, we had a different closer every year, and we were doing great until we signed Keith Bell to a long-term deal and thought that would be helpful, and it turned out to be one of the worst signings of my career.
So you mentioned Christian Yelich. He's having an amazing year in Milwaukee. How did that trade come about when he gets traded from the Marlins to the Brewers?
Well, I was already gone, but I can tell you exactly how it came about. Yelich, the rest of the team had been basically torn down. Yelich made it very clear to Jeter he didn't want to be part of a rebuild. And Jeter said, I don't want to have someone around who doesn't want to be here. And that, to me, is the worst thing you can do as a new owner or CEO. But he's just a player. So, of course, as a player, if you're not happy, you want to get traded. So he was acting like a player. It makes no sense to have traded Yelich the way they did. They didn't need to financially. That's a contract that we signed that was ended up being very team-friendly. And then they argue that Yelich would not have turned into the MVP and maybe back-to-back MVP, except for Bellinger right now, if he were still in Miami. Well, that's a bunch of horse hockey, because he would have developed into the exact player he is in Miami. Whether he's happy or not, he wants to go out and perform so he can make money in his next contract. And then on top of that, guys, they traded him for players who ended up, it's still early, but not that early. They probably did not get back any sort of superstar in return.
Joined by David Sampson, who's a CBS Sports HQ MLB analyst, former president of the Marlins. And that kind of brings us back to Anthony Rendon. You kind of said, well, maybe they need to trade him. And we've kind of kicked it around. Look, the guy's a great player. Maybe you trade him for prospects. What do you do if it's July 30th or right before the deadline, a couple days before the deadline, and you feel like you got a good chance at signing him, but you're not certain, you haven't locked it up? Do they then make the move? What would you do?
I think that it depends on the relationship. I had good relationships with many of the players. I would be talk to the player, not the agent, the actual player. Talk about, hey, Anthony, here's where we are this season. We want you back. We're not competitive this year. We have a chance to make the organization stronger. We want to sign you to the following contract. This is what we're going to offer you, but why don't you go have a half a year, make the playoffs, do great, and then come back. I think communicating with your employee, we act like there's such a divide between players and management. Just communicate with your employee. It's not the end of the world.
Hmm. Were you able to successfully do that in Florida?
There were several players who we communicated with, who I personally communicated with, and there were others who I knew I couldn't communicate with because they were very much only interested in talking with their agents and not really hearing from anyone in the front office. They were very upset about the divide between the front office and the players. But there were certain guys who certainly you could talk with. But obviously no Boris clients can you can never talk to.
Can you give us a couple of guys that were with the team that were just hard to manage and hard to communicate with?
Well, hard to communicate with or just unwilling? I mean, yeah. Marcelo Zuna and Jose Fernandez, you know, I was close to both of them and it was great to talk to them, but you certainly couldn't have talks about where the roster was going or what you were doing with them because it would just get right back to their agent and it would end up being a disaster. But there were other players who, you know, a D. Gordon, let's say, who you could talk to anytime. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Jeff Conine back in the day, but current players, Ichiro is someone I could talk to about what we were doing with the roster, what we were doing with him. We were very honest about where his at-bats were coming and what we thought of we were going to do with him. So certain players just understand the game and understand the dynamics between the front office. And I just don't know Anthony well enough. I've met him. I don't know well enough whether he'd be receptive to these types of conversations.
But he's a Boris guy, right? Boris would probably say that's not allowed.
Some players, Ozuna finally woke up and left Boris.
Right.
So it's possible that Rendon is his own man. I just don't know.
Right.
Getting back to the Nats, it just seems like whatever can go wrong will go wrong. You know, last night Scherzer's he's just cruising. He's got 109 pitches. He goes through six. He had 9 Ks. Looked really good. Ross and Grace held down the seventh. And then Bearclaw came in, got the first guy. You struck him out. And then there was a ball hit to kind of deep left that Juan Soto, a pretty good left fielder, probably makes the play, but Soto lets it hit the base of the wall to extend the inning. And then, you know, then they brought Doolittle in, and Doolittle was just, I mean, that's the best guy in the bullpen, and he blew it. So
when,
now you can't
even, are going bad.
Right, you can't even rely on your best like closer. Yeah, I mean, it's they're, I don't know if
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
Bearclaw
is another example, right? He was a guy that they acquired. And he was lights out for the Marlins, but then all of a sudden was unable to get anybody out. So the Nationals took him with an opportunity thinking, could this become an on year for him? Because last year ended up being an off year. The fact is, this is not an on year for Bearclaw, and they should move on. He shouldn't be in high leverage situations anymore. And Doolittle, by him having a bad outing, that's, you know, he's proven that he should be getting the ball again and again and again, and that's okay. You've got to be willing to interchange bullpen arms and get the train going from AAA to the major leagues and back down and back up and back down. That's very normal for teams to do. It's hard to put a bullpen together, so I do not blame Rizzo for it at all.
Using your term, though, off year, they're all having off year. So if you don't
that's
go
what's so bizarre.
You go with Suero, and Suero blows it, or you go with Grace, and Grace blows it. And they just brought up Tanner Rainey from AAA, and he's throwing 99 miles an hour, and he's blown 2 games since he's been in. So nothing has worked.
It's like spreading.
Right. Everybody throws 99 now. So it used to be a huge deal to bring up a 99 guy from AAA thinking he's going to be your elixir that's amazing. But by the way you're describing is exactly the unemotional way you have to look at your season. Sometimes seasons just don't work out.
Yeah.
And we're getting to the point where the Nationals have to admit that.
Yep. Well, I mean, you're 11 games under 500 this Memorial Day weekend. I mean, it's over. They're not coming back from that.
It's not over, but it's certainly close to over. It's like Billy Crystal and Princess Bride. You're not dead. You're just mostly dead.
Right.
Right.
That's for sure.
And by the way, they play the Marlins this weekend, who have won 5 straight.
So, yeah, but it's sort of when you're 10-31, obviously you're not going to lose 140 games. Mm-hmm. You're going to win some games. So here's my view of what the Rizzo is saying right now. With Davey Martinez and with the learners managing up and managing down, he's looking at this weekend series as the season. If you do not win 3 out of 4 against the Marlins, there will be changes.
Yeah, that's what I think too. All right, Dave, appreciate the insights. David Sampson used to be the president of the Marlins. Now he's an analyst on CBS Sports HQ.
Thank you,
thanks.
David. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a great day,
right,
guys. Good luck.
Good
all
stuff.
Right, thank you. Yeah, I'll be right. Getting to that point, I guess.
Interesting that he discounts managerial changes, even though he admits that they did a managerial change mid-season and won a World Series with
and
that manager.
That Jack did like unique things.
It would just be
sounds
a PR
like Jack
move.
McKeon had the dusty.
That's
Baker
what it would
touch.
Be. It would be a PR move. I was a little confused. You know, he was talking about Rizzo putting a roster together. He had positive things about Rizzo putting a roster together, but then he said Rizzo can't fire himself. So that's why the manager.
Well, I think he's talking about change for the sake of change. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
because he didn't even blame Davey.
No.
If you listen to him, he didn't even
Davey. It didn't sound like he was blaming Davey or
no,
Mike.
He said sometimes years they just go bad. And that's just maybe that's a great way to describe this one. He also did not criticize
back to back years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't criticize the way Mike put together the bullpen. Says that's kind of standard the way bullpens are put together.
Yeah, I think bullpens are generally an afterthought. You go after, like, the big boys. They went after Patrick Corbin, and then they didn't have that much salary left. And they rolled the dice. Like, when he says Bearclaw is coming an off year, they kind of rolled the dice on a couple players. Like, Dozier was coming off an off year.
Yeah.
But fans don't care about that. Fans can only react to results. So fans, you can't convince fans that he put together a good bullpen.
I'm not saying that he did put together a good bullpen. I'm just saying that what Davidson, his approach, there's nothing wrong with his approach. It's not working out. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good bullpen. I'm saying that it was a standard approach and just backfired. It's not working.
All right, but you might have to change that approach.
Well, what are you going to do? Like he said, you can't give guys long-term deals with the bullpen. That blows up in your face.
I understand, but I think, you know, you always hear the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. What he's saying is maybe you need to change something to try and get a different result.
But he doesn't think the bullpen, the way it's put together, is part of the problem.
Well, watching,
that's his opinion.
Watching these Nats play every night is driving fans insane.
Of course.
That's a good word
for
it.
I'm a fan.
It's Open Line Thursday. Let's get your reaction to that interview in the Nats, 800-636-1067. What'd you think about what he said? Made some really good points, some surprising points, too. What do NBA champion Quinn Cook, Jaren Jackson, former Maryland Terrapin great Mello Trimble all have in common? They've all attended Coach Wooten's basketball camp. At Coach Wooten's basketball camp, their goal is for campers to love basketball more by instilling confidence, teaching the game, having fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ with competitions, contests. They bring in guest speakers, and they get 3 games per day. Instruction is the difference at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Register at CoachWooten.com with 2 O's and 2 T's. That's CoachWooten.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, 7:45 every morning we give you a chance to win some Nationals tickets. Right now, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with the tickets to see the Nationals take on Miami. May 26th, Nats Park. That would be in just 3 days. 106.7 The Fan, PenFed Credit Union, taking you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contest. I just saw this story during the break, and I found it interesting. Did you see the Hayden Hurst story?
I did not.
Hayden Hurst is a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, right, Valdez? He's your guy on the Baltimore Ravens. And apparently he was on a flight, and this is something straight from like TV shows or movies. So he's on a flight, and he sees a woman that he becomes infatuated with. And I guess he's single, and he wants to make a move, but he said that she walked off too fast. And so he took to Twitter and asked his 18,000 or so followers to see if he could find her. I don't know that he's found her yet, but he wrote, "To the gorgeous tall brunette on my flight to Baltimore, you walk incredibly fast, and I couldn't catch up. But here's hoping you have Twitter. Hashtag the one that got away."
Wow.
That's
people do
a
that
bold
kind of thing.
Public move.
People do that kind of thing in like newspapers and that sort of thing. Missed connections. You know. I don't know. Does it ever work? This might work.
I think I did. I did that once in my life. When I was in college,
you put an ad in a paper?
Oh, no. I just.
You got size for somebody.
Kind of embarrassing.
Did you leave a note in somebody's windshield? For some reason, I remember this story.
I did that.
I remember this
story.
Is that
the same thing?
No, it was two different times.
Oh, two different stories. Give me the windshield story first.
I was working as a courier right out of college for a company here locally, and I was in Bethesda. I remember I was in Bethesda, downtown Bethesda, and I saw a girl get out of her car, and she was just money. I mean, she was just my, and she got out of her car and went into, you know, coffee shop or wherever she went. And then I left a note on her door or on her windshield saying, "Hey, just wanted to let you know, you know, whatever." I can't remember
put
what
your,
I said.
You put your,
it was embarrassing.
You put your phone number.
Yes.
For her to call you.
Yeah. And she called.
You're kidding.
She did.
Yeah. She called. And it happened. It was small world. She was friends with some of my high school friends. And I said, "All right, well, do you want to go out for dinner, go out for lunch?" And she said, "I'd rather go out in a group setting."
Right.
Because, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Because
you could be a psycho. Of course.
And it never happened, but I can't believe she
Why
called
did it
back.
Never happen? Why didn't you make that happen?
I can't remember.
Probably dating. You probably had a girlfriend.
I can't remember.
That would hurt the group setting.
No, I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a girlfriend. No.
That's probably like 1992, pre-cell phones.
It was like 93-ish.
It was just,
yeah,
the game was so different then. Like now, there's text messages, Instagram, all those type of things, direct messages.
I'm not sure we even had email back then.
Right.
Yeah. When did email become like a thing?
I think right about when we started the show.
About 95, 96?
Yeah.
That's about when email came about?
Yeah. But I did that.
Yeah. I don't blame. What was the other one you said you did?
Okay, I did that. I left the note on the windshield. And then the other one was, this was probably senior year of high school. Beach Week in Ocean City, had a party at our hotel, and a bunch of girls from Gaithersburg High School came. I mean, there must have been 8 or 10 of them. I don't even know who knew them, how we invited them, how we came across
them. They just showed up.
Gaithersburg High School?
Yep.
I believe Melissa Millay, Gaithersburg High School.
Yeah, well, this girl would be much older than Melissa Millay. But she...
This girl's probably close to 50 now.
Right.
I understand.
I'm sure she is. She's probably 49. I don't think she was a senior.
What did she look like?
Could be a grandma.
Brunette, like tall, just money again, just gorgeous.
She's the one that got away.
And I didn't talk to her at the party because I did have my high school girlfriend at the party. All right? I was dating someone from Northwestern High School. And you were planting a seed. And so I couldn't really talk to her. So, you know, when I got back home, I... This is so embarrassing. I went to Gaithersburg High School and looked her up in the yearbook.
What do you mean? You actually went to the school?
Yeah. I said, hey.
Do you have a yearbook here?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, did you know when she like graduated? Or
I was just asking.
So you went there in the middle of the summer. There was no students there.
No students there.
Did they think you're crazy?
Went all the way to Gaithersburg High School. Mm-hmm.
All the way. You were living in Lanham, so it's
okay,
not that
but
far.
Okay, but it was minutes.
Like 45 minutes.
It's a hike.
Did you find her?
Yeah.
You did.
And then what do you do? Now you just know her name.
I just knew her name. What could I do? I didn't know where she lived.
Right.
I can't remember what I did after that. I tried to get in touch with her, but I can't remember how I did it.
How long did it take you to like? Were you scanning through the yearbook? Like you started through the A's.
It was 1988.
That's when he had raging testosterone.
It's all remember.
Gone. You all the way to the B's.
That's horny, dude.
Yes.
Like if your last name was Zeller, you'd be so bitter. Yeah. You're there for an hour.
I mean, I don't remember. I was there. I saw her. You know, I recognized her, and I got her name. And there was some way I tried to get in touch with her.
I never did. Back then, you would just have to like look up the name in the phone book.
I was grasping. Both times, grasping.
You went from the yearbook probably to the phone book. Grasp.
Maybe I did that. But I don't think I ever talked to her. But
you probably thought, well, do I know anybody else at Gaithersburg High School? Maybe they know this person.
So I left a note on a windshield, and I went to a high school to look at a picture of a yearbook.
Do you think this will work out for Hayden Hurst? So Hayden Hurst, for people who don't know,
got a decent chance.
Would you ever have done either of those
things? He was a first-round pick last year.
He would never do that.
He's in the NFL. He's on the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
And he sees a woman that he's smitten by. And he publicly puts out a tweet asking for people to help him connect with this tall brunette.
He's doing got exactly what I did.
He's got a shot. He's got a chance because it's going to go viral.
Correct. You know? Correct. And he's an NFL player.
Yeah, and you would think that she has a friend.
Yeah, I would give more details. Like what flight? Where was he going?
She might have a friend. Well, it was Jacksonville to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but was she in the airport or on his flight?
Sound like she was on his flight.
She was on the flight, and then they got off.
He said he couldn't catch up to her.
Right.
And she was just rolling.
Again, his tweet is to the gorgeous, tall brunette on my flight to Baltimore. So on his flight, you walk incredibly fast, and I couldn't catch up. But here's hoping you have Twitter. Hashtag the one that got away. And he has the prey emoji.
Right. He's got a shot. Definitely got a chance.
You know, yeah, I wonder if any of those lost connections work. We've talked about this in the past. Whatever, you should do it like in the post. We can open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067.
Is Craigslist even a thing anymore? Does that even still exist?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. People still use Craigslist?
Definitely.
They've taken out a lot of the personals, though, in there, right?
Were you trying to meet, like, for a hookup?
Like, I know, like, all of, like, the strippers and all that stuff, they've taken that out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but they have the misconnections thing.
The misconnection is still the thing.
Yeah, that was big for a while.
I wonder if anybody's ever been able to capitalize on it. I have no idea. I know this. I got a text, just as a side note, from my wife last night. Her and my son, they went down to Louisville. They were registering for classes. They were coming back. The flight was scheduled to leave, I think, at 6, and it got pushed back to 9. And I said, why? And they said, the plane got struck by lightning on the way over from wherever it was coming from. And so they had to swap out planes. But I guess it landed safely, no big deal. The plane that they took to Louisville, that flight got delayed because that plane was dented.
From lightning?
I don't know. That was from a different incident.
What's the airline?
Southwest.
So what's average ticket price? Because you're going to have to make that flight a bunch of times.
That's not that
like
much.
$400 or $500?
Oh, no.
$250.
It's probably less than that. It's literally an hour flight. Hour and 10 minutes. I mean, it might be $150 a ticket, something like that. But still, the flight out there delayed because there was a dent in the plane. The flight coming back delayed because the flight had been struck by lightning. How often does that happen? And if you're on the flight, do you know? Do you realize that you've just been struck by lightning?
Probably not.
What is their anti-lightning defense? Like, what is it?
I don't know.
How do you ground a plane that's in air?
No clue.
It's so silly.
They have a lightning rod up there?
They have something. Let's go to Alex Fairfax. Alex, what's up, man? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, so I went to Florida State. There was a bartender down there that I just had the biggest crush on. Blacked out one night, apparently. Gave her my business card. Never thought anything of it again. Fast forward 2 years. This is sometime last summer. I'm on a dating app up here in D.C., see her, match with her, and I'm just like, hey, you look familiar. And she's like, yeah, you gave me a business card down in Florida State 2 years ago. Do you remember that? And I was like, nope. And fast forward, and we've been dating for a year now.
Wow. Look at that.
She remembered,
but you don't? How many girls were you giving your business card to?
He was blacked out. He got hammered. She was a bartender.
Okay.
So I remembered her, but I didn't remember giving her my business card or anything, and that had kind of been like right at the end of my time down there. So I didn't really see her anymore after that. And here we are. We love telling that story to people. You would not imagine the reactions we get.
Hey, how does it work when you're on
Is she the one, you think?
I mean, there's just with a story like that, I don't know how you can couldn't say she's the one.
Right. It was all fate.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's a little bit of luck, but there were just a bunch of other, like, you know, we had classes together that we didn't realize. We had like mutual friends and
we
were
still a bartender
at the same time. What's that?
She's still a bartender.
She's a student now, but she does bartending on the side.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. She could probably meet some other dude now.
I was going to ask him if you meet on a dating app, because essentially you met on the dating app. How long till you have to delete that dating app? Right? Because if you're dating her, she doesn't want that Tinder or whatever the heck you were on still on your phone.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been in that game, so I don't know.
You probably
would have to date for a couple months.
Couple months, and then you're going to be like, why do you still have Tinder on your phone?
Of course. So you could ask a guy like Adam who's got 900 dating sites, but none of them are ever successful.
Right.
So he wouldn't know.
He stumbles on Bumble. All right, open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show, 800-636-1067.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.